السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه، ومن استن بسنته، ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين، ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصبر نور، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet again He's given us such a beautiful opportunity, such a beautiful day, the day of Jumu'ah. Indeed it brings happiness to those people whose hearts are connected with the masjid and whose hearts are connected with deen, that another great day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us, another greatest types of sabr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan, and He's created لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surrounded us with difficulties, different types of trials, different types of difficulties. And this dunya is actually an examination hall. If you think of it like an examination hall, and all of us are sitting in that examination hall, and every one of us is given one paper, and that paper is covering five sections. So there'll be five questions asked from five sections. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the ayat of the Quran which I've recited, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finished tell us which sections are going to be tested in this paper. But when it comes to each one of us, the difficulty level of each question is different. So each person is given this question paper in the examination hall of this dunya. Question one for somebody may be easy, question two for the next person may be easy, and for the third person, question two may be very hard. And question one also may be difficult for him. So the questions will differ according to the person and according to the hikmat and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Pak mentions to us that definitely you will be tested in this exam. And Allah Pak here in this ayat of the Quran is telling us also which sections. So the first thing Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, that the first section is the section of fear. That some people will go through fear. Different times and different parts of their life, they'll be faced with fear. Suddenly we get a message that some friend of ours is in the ICU. Automatically we got fear now. What is going to happen to him? What is his situation? Or sometimes people in other parts of the world, they don't know when the next bomb is going to come on them, when they're going to be faced with some type of attack. There's so much of fear that they're faced with. So this, for some people, they may not be faced with so much of fear. Others, they've got fear. Now suddenly they're being diagnosed with cancer, they're shocked. They don't know how to react. So they've been diagnosed, or they're facing this fear situation. So for them at this moment, now this is the question they're being faced with. But a person at every time and every situation in this world, he must remember that who is the examiner of this paper? The examiner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is the most merciful, the most forgiving, the one who's got the most amount of compassion. At one stage I was doing moderation of accounts for in the university. They requested me to do the moderation. So one of the hardest things when doing moderation is when you get a paper of a student after he's been marked and he's on the borderline, he's got 48%, he just needed 2% to pass. So now you're moderating to see whether the examiner was fair or he was not fair. In your heart you know if he just gets this 2%, the child will pass. And 1 year of his life gets saved. So you want to give him, but at the same time you have to be fair. So when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy that Allah Pak will have on the day of Qiyamah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pass everybody. And Allah wants to pass everybody. So that in a person's heart he knows that if I just do what I have to do, the rest Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do. So he has this hope in his heart. So the first part of it is khawf, where a person is faced with fear. The next question or the next section a person will be tested on, بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ, starvation, hunger. In South Africa, most of us, this is a very, very easy question that we are faced with. Because we don't even know what the meaning of hunger and starvation is. When we are at home, there's plenty of food, our freezers are stocked, our fridges are stocked. When we're traveling, we got patkos with us. If we're on the flight, there's food being served. When a person reaches the airport where he's going to, again, there's shops there, there's restaurants there, there's lounges there. So at every point he's going, there's food. So he doesn't really know what is the meaning of hunger and starvation. But sometimes if we just go through Africa and through the poor countries where the people are starving, and they don't have food, they don't have proper drinking water, they're living off leaves and they're living off whatever they can find. So they know how difficult this question is for them, the question of hunger and starvation. So therefore for us this is a very, very easy question. And we find that when Ramzan comes and it has to be in the summer months, for that little while how we complain. So much now we're feeling this hunger. What about those people that have to go through it for days? Therefore in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in one hadith he said, كَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَيْ يَكُونَ كُفْرًا, that this poverty and the starvation is such a thing that can actually lead a person to kufr. Now he starts questioning, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'm suffering so much in this situation. The next test or the next question a person is faced in this examination hall, وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that his assets get taken away. Assets. So what happens is suddenly one hijacking, the man's car is gone. A person's factory gets burned down, a person's shop gets burned down, or he gets looted and everything is gone. So this person is faced with that difficulty. He thinks to himself, it took me so long to build up the shop. It took me so much of time and effort and now one shot this thing is just gone. So this is this person's imtihan at that moment. Now he must realize that this is my test at this time. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this test for me at this time difficult. And the next question, the next thing that comes in the ayat of the Quran, وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ, that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a family member away. A family member will go, some dear friend of ours will just leave us suddenly. That man was there, he was a source of support, a source of strength, a source of sharing our information, sharing our difficulties. Suddenly that person is just gone from our sight. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this will also happen. And this is no wonder. This is no wonder. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, Allah does what is best for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what is best for us. Look at the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Before he was born, his beloved father, Abdullah, was taken away. Before he was born, he didn't even see his father. He had passed away. When he was at the dear age of 6 years old, traveling with his mother had taken him to meet the relatives that were in Medina Sharif. Mother's family was from Medina Sharif. On the return, as they were coming, a place called Abwa, out of Medina Sharif, out of Makkah Sharif. So he's traveling en route. Nowadays when we are traveling en route, there are still people around us with support. We still got the cell phone, we got the WhatsApp. So if we got any difficulty, immediately we can contact people and there are people there to help us. But here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is traveling, there's no ultra cities there, there's no stops, there's no SOS, no WhatsApp, no Twitter, nobody to contact. His mother suddenly falls ill and she passes away. Himself, his foster mother, Ummi Iman al-Baraka, was there. And his mother had passed away. Can you imagine, 6 years old, young child, no father, loses his mother. But just to show us that this is the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't mean Allah Pak is angry with somebody, and it doesn't mean Allah Pak doesn't love somebody. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the highest. The beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, at that age, Allah Pak had taken away his father and his mother. So now from at the age when before he's born, his father, and now at the age of 6, his mother. Then he spent a little while with his grandfather, his dada. Now his dada was looking after him. Very shortly after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had caused his grandfather to pass away. So now can you imagine now, just for a few years he spent, about 2 years he spent with his grandfather. Now the grandfather also is gone. So now from that age, at that dear age, from approximately the age of 12, so from the age of 8, his dad, from 6 till 8 now he was with his dada. From the age of 8 now his uncle had taken him, Abu Talib. And right up till the age of 50 he was under the support of his uncle. He was under the, so to say, the canopy of his uncle looking after him. But a time came in his life where the Kuffar and the Quraysh of Makkah complained so much to his uncle that now his uncle also had to withdraw his support, had to withdraw his protection from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And with tears in his eyes, he tells his uncle that, "Oh my uncle, if they had to place the sun in my right hand, the moon in my left hand, then also I won't give up this mission." With tears in his eyes, he had to actually break away from the support of that uncle who was so close to him. So this was the test, different test that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went for. And then now we find at the age of 50 years old, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had lost his beloved wife, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was such a support for him throughout the history of Islam, that from the beginning of Islam, she was there with him at his side. Now she also had passed away. Can you imagine, 25 years of marriage, now suddenly also she is also gone from there. On one occasion, it was at the occasion of Badr, where the slaves now that were captured from the Meccans, the Quraysh, now it was decided, what do we do with this? What do we do with them? So anyway, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had taken the opinions of the Sahaba, and he decided that we'll take fidya from them, we'll take some ransom from all the slaves that were captured. So now when it came to the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Rabi' ibn al-As radiallahu anha, at that time he hadn't accepted Islam. He was against Nabi alayhi salatu. Can you imagine, his own son-in-law was against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He was married to Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. So now ransom also had to be taken from him. So now the families of these slaves were sending money from Makkah Sharif so that they could free them. So when it came to the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had sent a necklace. And that was the necklace that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala had given her daughter, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. So now this necklace had come. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam seen that necklace, his mind immediately went to his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And tears had swelled in his eyes. Was very sad. He became very sad that this was the necklace of my dear wife. Now this has to be given as ransom for my son-in-law. So he made a request to Sahaba, that can this be allowed, can we exchange and allow this necklace to be sent back to my daughter, so long as this son-in-law of mine gives an undertaking that when he goes back to Makkah Sharif, he'll send my daughter to Madina Sharif. Can you imagine what difficulties Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself was undergoing? So this was the love that he had for his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. So like that in the life, in the episode of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, different ages, different family members were taken away. Now when he's at the age of 55, his beloved uncle Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha was martyred in the battle of Uhud. And so close he was, because he was not only almost the same age of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was also his foster brother and his uncle. And we know what difficulty he went through at that time when his uncle was made shaheed, that his liver was chewed and he was chopped into so many different pieces. But even that also Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam underwent with sabr. Now when he was at the age of 60, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the age of 60, then another cousin of his, Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu had just come for about 2 years, just before the battle of Mu'tah, approximately 7 years after Hijri. Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala had come from Abyssinia. When he had come from Abyssinia, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy, because he was the brother of Ali radiallahu anhu. This was his cousin. He's seen his cousin after so long. He said, "I don't know whether I'm more happy at the arrival of Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an, or I'm more happy at the conquest of Khaybar that had just taken place at that time." So now just approximately 2 years his cousin spent time with him in Madina Sharif. And now just 2 years barely passed, and now his own cousin becomes shaheed where? In Jordan, in Mu'tah. And then in the same battle, his stepson, Hazrat Zayd ibn Harisa radiallahu ta'ala an, he also becomes his adopted son, Hazrat Zayd ibn Harisa radiallahu ta'ala, he also becomes shaheedi. So one battle, two people very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had become shaheed. Approximately Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the age of 62. So from time of birth, as he's going along, now different family members are going. Approximately the age of 61, 2 years before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could pass away, his beloved son Ibrahim radiallahu anhu had passed away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam holding the child in his hands whilst he's taking the last few breaths of life. He passes away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was crying, was grieved, he was tearing. So Hazrat Abdullah, Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu had asked him, that you also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in other words, asking him, thinking to himself that maybe Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just thinking now, so he asked him. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said something for all of us to understand. He said, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعْ وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزَنْ وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضَى رَبُّنَا, that the eyes will tear, the heart will become sad, but the mouth won't say anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So losing family members and losing friends is part of the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is part of life. So this Allah Pak is telling us already that He'll test us as far as this loss of friends, this loss of family, the loss of relatives is concerned. This will happen to a person, but a person should never lose hope. And then the next thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test a person with the loss of his prophets. The loss of fruit means the loss of prophets. Sometimes a man will save his whole life, he'll save some money under the mattress. He'll save that money and he will think to himself that I'm keeping this money for a rainy day. And there's one robbery and that whole mattress is gone, everything is gone. Oh, sometimes the receiver will come and assess him, and now that money that he thought he built up for years, now suddenly he's owing with interest and he's owing with penalties. Now he doesn't know what to do. So this will happen in life. But the main thing is, how do we take lesson from this, and how do we approach these type of situations that will occur in life? In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam mentioned, "Ma yusibul muslima min nasabin, wala wasabin, wala hammin, wala hazanin, wala adhan, wala ghammin. حتى الشوكة يشاكها إلا كفر الله بها من خطاياه كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. There isn't anything that afflicts a Muslim, whether it's tiredness, person just suffering fatigue and tired, or whether a person is suffering sickness, or whether a person is struck with grief, or is struck with fear, or whether a person is struck with adhan, means some type of outward, somebody has done something bad to him, somebody is behaving nastily towards him, or a person is struck with depression. Sometimes you find a person is just fearing things that are going to occur. So he's struck with depression. To such an extent, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that even a thorn pricking a person, even a thorn pricking a Muslim, except that Allah uses this as an excuse to forgive his gunas. So then what do we need to grieve about when we know that what Allah is giving us, this difficulty, is there for us to cause our gunas to be forgiven. So I'll just terminate on this. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he explains when one person came to him and this person was struck with grief, struck with sorrow, which is natural in a person's life that he'll be struck with grief and struck with sorrow. But how do we get over it and how do we allow ourselves to adapt to the situation? So here Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi gave a very, very nice recipe, very, very nice prescription for us. He says that I tell people that come to me with grief and depression, that I tell them to think to yourself and take out a few moments and make muraqabah. Muraqabah means just meditate, think for a while. A person doesn't have to be completely in seclusion. Wherever he is, just ponder for a short while. Think these things, that think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me, and whatever Allah is doing to me is for my betterment, is the best for me. That Allah loves me, and what He's doing to me and what situation He's causing for me, this is the best situations. And then he quoted the ayat, Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the friend and the guardian of those that believes. Now we got somebody who is our best friend, our true friend. Will this friend ever do something to harm us? That friend will never, if he's a real friend, he'll never do anything to harm us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aziz, Allah is hakim, Allah is the most wise, and Allah is the one who has power to execute His wisdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us and He's executing His wisdom but we don't understand it. So we should take a few moments and think to ourselves that Allah loves us and what Allah is causing for us is the best for us. A person just takes out a few moments thinking like this, this is a very effective way of getting rid of the depression and that sadness that comes into the heart. And the explanation and understanding of this is a mother sometimes she'll scold a child. The child doesn't like it. Or sometimes she'll reprimand. Sometimes the father will even hit the child. But this is for the betterment of the child. It's not so that the child gets worse. But that love and the shafqat and the muhabbat of that mother, that is causing the mother to choose the best course of action for that child. So there's no person even more love than the mother has for the child, Allah has for each one of us. So we should always think that Allah loves us and what Allah is doing is for the best. We will only understand it on the day of Qiyamah and we see the reward and we see the reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for the difficulty that we had gone through. Then a person at that time will wish, oh Allah, why didn't you cause difficulties my whole life? So much of reward you're giving me for that little bit of difficulty. All we need to do whilst we're going through this phase in our lives is treat this different phases, whether it's fear, whether it's depression, whether it's a loss of wealth, loss of assets, just take it with sabr, and then inshallah a person will see the full reward on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa'akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. Thank you.